arm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves.
Hello and welcome to Why is Mr. Feeney a Car? A TV guide review podcast of the action shows of yesteryear. And today we're just a couple of good old boys. Never meaning no harm.
Beat all you ever saw. Been recording on this pod since the day we was born.
Today is another great car show. Dukes of Hazzard. And I just want to say thank you for introducing me to this television show, Aaron, because spoiler alert, I loved it.
It's a great show. And I texted you. It's like you have now seen every Dukes of Hazzard episode ever. Like, I cannot fucking believe how much of a Dukes of Hazzard episode this is, how representative of the whole. It's got everything. It's literally got everything. There's only one iconic thing that this episode doesn't have.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a good old fashioned hood slide. Apparently, they didn't invent
there,
that.
There was one.
There, are you sure? Because, maybe in the credit sequence.
He slid over on his knee, not on his booty.
The episode proper, because, the lore goes that in the second episode, Tom Wopat. Goes to leap. He was on like an embankment and he was going to jump over the hood and he trips and ends up sliding over, and he rams his hip bone into the car's antenna, and you can actually hear him go like, ah! And the director thought it was so fucking cool. They're like, we're going to do that. We are no longer walking around cars. We're going to slide across hoods. And in subsequent episodes, they removed the antenna from the General Lee to facilitate said slide.
Well, the CB radio is a plot point in this episode.
Oh yeah, it's in every episode. Like it's a big deal. This is a very zeitgeist type of TV show. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of reading about this today.
Really?
And there's this like mixture of like we had this peanut farming southerner in the White House. Mm-hmm. There's this fascination with like Southern counterculture, CBs, mm-hmm. convoys, mm-hmm. Smokey
yeah, like
and
truckers.
The Bear.
Trekker was a big thing for a while.
Burt Reynolds running Coors Light over the mountains, sex ed. Like there's this like kind of this zeitgeist, and NASCAR was big, racing was big. There's also this, like, this is the height of, like, Three's Company, Charlie's Angels, kind of, like, sex position type shows, like, sexy, you know, get girls in bikinis and ogle them type.
Oh, yeah.
And this,
oh.
And combined with a lot of folks in America's sense of racial innocence that they developed after the Civil Rights Act and right up until George Floyd's death. This cultural cauldron brewed, and we have the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Good old boys who have not a racist bone in their body.
No, who they sure don't.
Who fight the system and are for progressive causes under the under the stars and bars in a car called the General Lee. It's incredible. Breathtaking. Right.
When you said this episode was missing something, I was hoping you were going to say, much like there's the evil Kit, his name is Carr, right?
Yeah.
I was hoping there was going to be an evil General Lee that's like the General Grant with like the flag of the...
battle flag of Northern aggression. Yeah, the American flag. You're stealing. You must have read my notes for later in the outline, because I have some suggestions on how we can fix the Dukes of Hazzard. Because the thing is, the Dukes of Hazzard is. I don't know. There was a brief. I read a whole bunch of articles from like 2020 that said that there was a rash of Dukes of Hazzard being taken off the air over the whole General Lee Confederate flag thing. Which fair enough, but we can fix them. We can fix the. Fix these Duke boys. They're good boys. They never meant no harm.
There's some. They definitely, you could tell where the studio was like, we need to make it abundantly clear that these are not, like, racist Southerners.
Right.
And I'm sure we won't get to that.
Did you hear in the pilot is a quick passing reference, but the balladeer, the narrator of the show, informs us that the Dukes fought on the side of the Union. They fought against the Confederacy.
Well, they fought everyone as kind of... They're like, yeah. we fought the Yanks, we fought the Confederates, we fought, you know, it seems like they fight anyone that just encroaches on their whiskey land.
True, as is their God-given right as Americans.
I wouldn't stretch it as far to say, and actually it's kind of, this is like the, whatever you call that fuzzy era of everyone pretending that racism has been fixed, it's the civil rights movement's over and everything. Right. This is like the radical centrist of that era of we fight the North and the South.
Right, right. We look everybody. But yeah, this had a huge hold on my childhood. I got, I only celebrated 5 Christmases on this planet before I was the age of 32. And I remember my last Christmas, I got a Dukes of Hazzard stunt. I think it was called a Blast and Barn stunt set. And it had a General Lee that had that thing where, like, you know, if you vroom vroom the car on the floor, it had like would retain that momentum. It had some kind of flywheel thing. You get this thing charged up super fast, and you could, it had this barn set, and it would, like, you put it in the back of the barn, it would blow through the doors of the barn, like knock the barn doors open. You had a whole bunch of little plastic hay bales you could stack. It would smash through the hay bales. It even had ramps where you could get it, and its tires had this wild bevel on the outside. So when it hit these ramps, it would hold like a 45-degree ski.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was fucking incredible. I love that thing. This show is the reason why someplace on this planet is kicking around a picture of about a 5-year-old me wearing a Confederate flag.
Oh, boy.
I got an orange General Lee shirt, and there it is right on my chest.
That's a good question. At what age can you hold someone accountable for the T-shirt that they were wearing in the picture? Because it's not
my age for sure. 5 years old, in Mooresville, Indiana. I don't know. I would suggest I was a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Right, right. If it was an 18-year-old Aaron wearing that, now it's a choice. You know,
that's true. And you know what? 18-year-old Aaron made some shitty choices out of a lot of ignorance and not knowing how the world works. But we're not talking about Bo and Luke Duke here.
Hell yeah,
Jesse. Not all of us were lucky enough to be born in liberal bastion states where all of our opinions were correct out of the womb. You know.
Oh, come on. Let's.
so you like the show? This is. I feel like this is the first show, maybe this entire season, that you've wholly liked.
So let's see. What have we watched so far? We watched A-Team. Airwolf,
MacGyver.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, MacGyver's growing on me in retrospect after having listened to you and Jim kind of analyze the fact that it was like someone on TV using their brain instead of their brawn. You know, it is cool. But
I mean, you saw that that MacGyver immediately followed and was commentary on this era of television where everything was solved with punching and
I found this, and it's just fun. It's a fun episode. It really reminded me of that, like, the Knight Rider sort of feel, the tone of, like, it's going to be fun. We're going to know there's going to be bad guys who are cartoonishly bad, and our guy is good and is almost, like, childlike, you know?
Yes, yeah. Big dumb kids.
What's the one? So Luke is... not the one that looks like Luke Skywalker.
No, he's the...
looks like Luke Skywalker.
Dude, do you know that, like, I was out of the Dukes of Hazzard era before I realized that, because the association with Luke Skywalker and Luke Duke was so fucking strong. In fact, I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I thought they were the same actor.
Yeah, I mean, they look pretty similar.
And like he wears some coats, like leather coats that kind of look like Luke and Bespin outfit, you know.
The haircut is pretty similar. And then the other one looks like John Travolta, like a lot.
He does. He looks like the love child of Michael Landon and George Travolta, or John Travolta.
George Travolta. he started Farce Off, the parody version of Face Off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's got something for everything. And then it's not nearly as cringy as I thought it was going to be.
No,
like
it's not.
There's definitely some cringe, but like I think even in, it read as like kind of like the show having fun more than it was like not understanding what the hell was going on.
Right, and the Boss Hogg is like straight out of vaudeville. That actor, yeah. Like, he is so cartoonish. It's fun. It's like he just puts on like a big frowny face and stares at the sheriff, who's like,
and it's like, I wish you could see what happens to Roscoe P. Coltrane by the end of the run of this thing, where he's just like this mess of tics and verbal stutters and coo 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 coo. I'm in hot pursuit. It's like, it's hilarious how, like, you think he's cartoonish and buffoonish now? Oh my God. Wait till he gets about 70 episodes of Duke Boys in him. It's
already a 9 out of 10 on the, on right. the cartoon factor.
Yeah, they
the
break
pilot.
The needle. They break the needle.
Oh man. But so yeah, I found it to be a pretty enjoyable watch. So do you think we should go into the synopsis part?
Before we do, you have to give us an update. Where are you at with the theme song?
Okay. I think this might be number 2 after Knight Rider. There were people in my chat when I was watching this saying this is a number 1. Absolutely no way does this beat. Actually, this might not even be A-Team. I think this might be 3.
Oh,
wow. Come on. Bum, 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 bum.
It's
so powerful.
It's pretty strong.
This is more like...
But this has lyrics. It tells a story. It's a toe tapper. You know what's fun? Singing this like when you're hiking through the country.
Yeah.
If I swear to God, I wish I could play banjo just so I could play this song.
This could be this feels like porch sitting music to me, though. Like,
beat all you ever saw, been in trouble with the law since the day it was born. That's such
true.
A fucking cool song.
I do like when TV shows let you know. Use that time to let you know what you're getting in for. But I would also argue, even
and
without
Dukes
lyrics,
Hazzard is the last of a dying era. Like, it's like you don't get many fully lyriced. You got like Family Guy, I guess. Shit. Is
hang on, we got a hot take in the chat here. Number 1 is Greatest American Hero, but Dukes is number 2.
We're gonna see to that next week, baby.
That's next week. Greatest American Hero coming up next week, so that's exciting. Real quick, one other observation of this is, did you ever watch Gravity Falls?
No.
I watch it with my daughter. It's a fun watch. As an adult, I even recommend it. But Boss Hogg is totally the like silly bad guy from Gravity Falls is based off of Boss Hogg, and I didn't realize it till I was watching this.
Is that true, or you're just a surmisal?
No, it's definitely true. He's like this short, squat guy. He's like a kid version of Boss Hogg, but he wears like the all white suit with the big cowboy hat and stuff.
Gotcha.
And
he's
totally a Boss Hogg. So that was fun.
Hangs out at the boar's nest.
Boar's nest.
Boy, I got real stream of conscious notes here. So the balladeer sings the theme song, which lets us know that this is a story of good old boys, never meaning no harm. They're fighting the system like two modern day Robin Hoods. And as soon as we get back out of the credits, the balladeer explains this, that in Hazzard County to do things different. And this is all set to a backdrop of the Duke boys and the General Lee chasing after a police car.
Right.
And they talk about Bo and Luke and their cousins, and they fight the system. And there's always this, like, the other thing I forgot about this show is the constant stream of patter that they voice over during the car chases.
I could do without that. I don't need it. It's like,
I wonder if it stops after a certain point, because how can you keep this shit fresh? There's only so much corn pone that you can fry up.
And it's like, we get it. They're cool and confident, you know. I don't need that. It's like,
I woke up wanting to go rabbit hunting, then my dog ran off. Now we're chasing a sheriff. Boy, aren't you glad we don't live in a big city where life is complicated? And you know, well, if you just tuned this car up instead of chasing women last night, we would already call. It's like, oh my god, yeah.
This is your stream of consciousness. This is verbatim, folks. It's not synopsizing what they're saying. Those are actual lines.
Yeah, my show notes look like William Faulkner's Sound and Fury. Do you know why? Why are they chasing a cop car, Jesse? What's the mystery here?
So, their cousin Cooter stole the cop car because...
I don't think they're blood relations, but...
What? Come on! No, they are!
No fucking way. Cooter, unless I think... It's not Cooter Duke. It's not Cooter Duke.
Well, not all your cousins have the same last name, but later
you
he
do
brings
in Georgia!
And we'll get to that.
Any Georgians get mad? This fucking show makes the same joke in 5 minutes. Just wait.
It does.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're either capital K kid or lower K kid, but he uses the word kid later on. But anyway, so Cooter stole the cop car because the cop impounded Cooter's vehicle.
Right.
So Cooter borrowed. It doesn't look like Luke. Luke. Borrowed Luke's car to steal the run the cop off the street, steal his car, and then get in a chase. Yeah. And now the Duke boys are chasing down Cooter in the cop car.
They have a loose sketch of an idea what justice is like in Hazard County. You know, it's kind of just somewhere
it
between
is...
what Boss Hall can impose and what the common folk can get away with.
It is a almost anarchistic land in Hazard County with what they
it
get
really
away
is.
With.
It really is. So they find when they examine the sheriff's car that there is a one-armed bandit, which gives the episode its name, kind of like sloshing out of the car because it's done taking a flip and a turn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So for some reason, the sheriff had a slot machine, but there's no gambling in Hazard County.
And this they kind of ponder what this could mean, and we go over to Roscoe Coltrane, which I did not know this was Roscoe's backstory, that for 30 years he was an honest policeman, and right before retirement the county defeated, I don't know what this means, this is some southern poverty law center shit, his retirement got defeated in a county election. Like, after 30 years of faithful service to the county is like, you know what? Fuck you. We're taking your retirement back. We're defeating it in an election and staring down retirement with a bad case of hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids, yeah.
He has been forced to cut corners and kowtow to the local crime boss, Boss Hog.
This is what happens when you defund the police, you libs. Defunded his retirement, they turn to corruption.
Right. And they talk about, like, there's all this stuff that he's into. He's into this, he's into that, the moonshining, and portable prostitution, which
Wait,
the balladeer helps.
Boss Hog?
Well, no. Well, the sheriff is enabling this. This is
the
crimes
sheriff
that the balladeer is talking about. This. He does
I
portable
missed that.
Prostitution, which is ladies working out of an RV, the balladeer helpfully explains. So.
What the
He's up for re-election this
Did we watch
this...
different shows? That was
no,
not
no,
in
no,
mine.
No. It's trust me, it's portable prostitution.
Oh man.
He or as my notes say, portable norstitution. All one word. He's up for re-election, but he's gotta talk to Boss Hog because Boss Hog runs everything. Out of the boar's nest, Jesse, his breakfast iconic.
His iconic breakfast is black coffee and raw liver, which he was ahead of this trend. He's the original liver king.
He is the original liver king. Yeah.
And he's got a similar physique.
He does. He's a Greek god, clearly. He actually is. He's pre-DeVito. He's Danny DeVito before Danny DeVito.
Danny pre-Vito, yeah.
This is essentially, if you don't know who Boss Hogg is, think of Frank Reynolds, late stage, late season, Always Sunny Frank Reynolds in an ice cream suit.
Yeah, pure white, just.
And instead of cat food, he eats raw liver, and there you go.
Yeah, but for breakfast. And so he owns this place, the Boar's Nest. It's like a single wide trailer of a bar. And later they're like, it's the finest place in Hazard County. It's got a $1 cover charge to keep all the riffraff out.
We're the elites of Hazard County dying, yeah.
And yeah, and we find a little bit more of the twisted allegiance between the sheriff and Boss Hogg here. It's not just that they're into crime together, but they're brother-in-law of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Boss Hogg married the sheriff's fat sister, and it's important enough that they said that she's fat twice in the show.
How much would you bet that we see a Boss Hogg's wife and crack and laugh and joke about it before the end of the series?
I wouldn't take that bet. I think that that's absolutely going to happen.
I think it's absolutely. I don't remember for a fact, but either she shows up, or what's equally possible is that Roscoe P. Coltrane dresses as her in some kind of scheme. I got the mental image of this person in a dress, but I honest to God can't tell whether it's supposed to be, or it might actually be Boss Hogg in drag. I don't know. Anyway. I kind of want to rewatch this series after I watch the pilot. I already have. What am I talking about?
The thing is, so what I like about this podcast we do is we're agile. We mix it up. We never know exactly where we're going to go with it. Because the original premise was season two was going to determine what season three was.
Right. Because that's the thing. It's like, was it Levi that said, why is the General Lee a car?
That was Gnarls.
Gnarls is Gnarls. That would be a great, great subtitle for the podcast.
Yeah. This is the front runner for me. If we're using this season to choose what we watch in season three, Dukes of Hazzard is ahead by a long shot.
We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
We've got lots of ongoing coverage this week, from book versus show comparisons for Hot D to the latest very special episode of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? But there are a couple of main events this week you need to know about.
Firstly, we've got a brand new Commission podcast out this Tuesday covering the Raid 2, sometimes subtitled Retaliation. If you're a fan of martial arts films, this is one you don't want to miss. Iko Uwe is a rising star in the action movie world, and it's easy to see why. Join us on Tuesday as we dive into the bigger, badder sequel to The Raid, try and figure out which is better.
Then on Thursday, we're covering the season finale of Hulu's excellent period drama, Shogun. We've been waiting all season to see what Toranaga Sama's plan is, or if he even has one. It all comes down to this, and we couldn't be more excited. Join us on Thursday for what's sure to be an epic Shogun season finale podcast, and to find out if we plan to cover any related materials.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car?
So Boss Hogg is concerned with his new sheriff that's trying to run for election. And I honestly thought I tracked what he's saying here, but he's like that this guy is crooked, or he's so crooked he makes Roscoe look straight.
Right.
But he's clean ruthless versus dirty ruthless. And I'll take dirty. And like clean ruthless makes me think of Elliot Ness, who I would not describe as crooked. I feel like they mixed their metaphors up here.
Elliot Ness. Don't worry, I'm definitely not Googling this right now.
Oh, he's the guy that took down Al Capone. He's the untouchable.
Oh,
the untouchables.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's what he's going for.
Hmm.
He's like, he's lawful evil, whereas, what's his name, the sheriff, Roscoe?
He's chaotic evil.
He's chaotic, stupid, murder hobo.
Mm.
But the new guy wouldn't be okay with, like, running a mobile prostitution ring, I guess.
So we are introduced to the wider Duke family. We meet Jesse Duke, who is the patriarch. And I gotta say, they use the word clan about three times this episode, and I am wildly uncomfortable every single time. Wildly uncomfortable.
Okay, so whatever. I mean, like... Is that part of the United States was like settled by like Scotch Irish, right?
Sure.
I think like Appalachia and stuff.
Yeah.
That's like all Scotch Irish. So that they're like a clan based people. Scots. So
sure.
I'll give it a pass. But yeah, maybe if I was doing a rough pass at this, like let's drop the clan word.
He's a retired moonshiner, deeply religious man. He's well read, but rough as a mouth of bark when riled, which is like, you know, this is the mentor. He's the old man. He's got all the wisdom. And him and the Duke boys eat breakfast every morning.
Except for once a week when he drinks beer and eats donuts.
Then,
at the bar's nest.
Then we run into Jill, who is a Hazard County orphan that grew up in an orphanage, and she is grown up and gotten herself educated now to Hazard County, and she's hot. And Bo Duke is Twitter-pated, and she says that their orphanage is about to run out of money, and she's trying to save it.
Right. And the love-struck, not Luke Skywalker, Bo.
Bo.
He's gonna do whatever it takes to win her affection at this point, you know. But it's not doing no harm. I think he wants to both do good and win over. It's a classic damsel in distress.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny that he's talking. He's trying to cajole Luke into helping with him, and Luke's like, "I don't want to help no orphans." He's like, "Come on, Luke. At least two of them kids got to be yours."
Right. It's funny, you know, it's a fun little jab, but it's like, apparently single moms just don't exist. Like, they go straight to the orphanage.
Right. There's a bunch of, like, are there a bunch of just dead kids or dead parents? It's like,
oh, well, yeah, we were joking about this during the live watch, because there's a bunch of orphans and they don't wear seatbelts. So it's like a one in, one out policy.
Right, yes.
One child gets born and one driver gets catapulted through a windshield and it finds equilibrium.
So we go back to the boar's nest. We're going to be introduced to the highlight of the show, Daisy motherfucking Duke. Who drives like Richard Petty, shoots like Annie Oakley, and knows all the words to every Dolly Parton song. My God. My God. Yeah. Catherine Back, my son came out of his room about 6 minutes in this episode and was like, "What are you watching, Dad? This sounds crazy." And I'm like, "It's the Dukes of Hazzard. This is one of my favorite shows when I was like a little boy." And when we got to this scene, he said, "Dad, did you realize she was hot at the age of like 6 or 7? And I'm like, "Honestly, yes." Like, I didn't fully understand. I just knew that there was some power here that I was connecting to.
Right, yeah.
And, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I thought, yeah. I'm sorry if I feel disloyal to Bonnie, honestly.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I feel like I'm cheating on Bonnie emotionally, which is weird because Bonnie made me feel like I was cheating on Roz from Frasier. So maybe I just have a thing for brunettes.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a brunette to have a thing for. And she's also just like aggressively cool too. So like some dude tries to hit on her and he won't let her go. And does she need a boy to save her? Hell no. She just like fucking kung fu's this guy and puts him in his place.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the line that we kind of alluded to earlier. I think it was Bo is like, "If you weren't my cousin, I would marry you." And then, and she's like, "In our family, that doesn't usually stop anyone." Something along those lines.
With what I would describe as a flirtatious laugh. Yeah.
I could not believe that the incest, I thought it was going to be implicit. It is downright explicit. Like, that isn't necessarily a deal breaker. And hey, Daisy, I wouldn't kick you out of bed for being in my family tree either.
I mean, first cousins, that's probably legal. You might have to get a genetic test or something. But
Albert Einstein married his first cousin. Good enough.
And he's a goddamn genius.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they find out through their Daisy Duke connection, because this guy was bragging to her. With the offer of taking her to a no-tell motel in exchange for going to the Grand Ole Opry, that he was smuggling in a bunch of one-armed bandit machines, a bunch of slot machines in a truck bed full of manure. And the Duke boys, they hatched themselves a plot. And we spend about 5 minutes doing what this show does best, wasting time watching people tear ass around in muscle cars. I don't know why they get lost in this goddamn junkyard. I don't understand it.
It's maze-like. It's like the Minotaur of Crete, basically. The ever-changing labyrinth of
And Cooter is the savage monster at the center, yeah. The Duke boys friends are Dobro, Brody, the only black character on this show, and also I looked him up, his character appears twice in the 7 seasons
of
Dukes of Hazzard. So
we don't tell Cousin David about him.
Yeah. We don't tell the clan patriarch about that. it's Cooter, Dobro, and Brody. And
There's
they plan
no
this heist.
And Brody.
I know. They plan this heist. I don't see how they differentiate themselves over CB, you know?
Mm, yeah.
They get a fucking spell shit out phonetically, the NATO alphabet. But they plan this heist over a laugh and a few beers. They're bumping each other on the road. They all have CBs. Oh, that's the other thing about this era of America, because all the other fascination with truck drivers and convoys and lower class Southern white folk,
blue collar,
the CB shit, like this constant CB pattern with the comeback, hit me up, and notes, check your niner, and good buddy, and all this stuff.
I feel like CB radio was like the dark web of the 70s, early 80s.
It might still be the dark web. Have you heard about the internet over the ham radio shit where they're running
like number stations?
Internet repeaters. Like now they're like doing exchanging data and stuff. I always get skeeved out when I see stuff like that, but I don't know why. It's not like the internet's sanitary. This guy, there's something you won't ever see today. A guy visibly chewing tobacco and spitting tobacco juice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he gets a nice spit.
Big old plug and a big old gout of juice coming out of that mouthful of his.
They're having fun. This show is fun.
Yeah.
They're just tearing down the highway, bumping into each other.
Laughing the whole time.
Tails and having reaction shots to remind you, we're having fun here.
Right.
This is
it's like,
fun.
It's like every one of these guys is exactly like Michael Knight. They have that golden retriever, Labrador energy.
He would fit right in.
He'd be like, hey, this is cousin Hasselhoff. He's from California, but he's cool. He likes the ladies. He likes to drink a beer. And you, what's your hey, Michael, what's your favorite food? Cheeseburger. I told you he's cool. Yeah. That he would totally. They'd just bag on Devin the whole time.
David, which side did your family fight for in the Civil War? Why? We were in the Oxford. We were not involved in your...
I fought on the wrong American side of the Revolutionary War, son.
my ancestors were Whigs.
So we're about to get introduced to another proud Duke tradition, which is the use of Daisy as bait. To befuddle 95% of every henchman is her in a bikini and high heels on the side of the road. I mean, I'd pull over.
I mean, let's be honest. It would work on 100% of the people on this podcast right now.
Yeah. It's something else. And this happens a shocking amount. Not a shocking amount. The woman has a pair of pants named after her. The cutoff jeans that show the bottom of your ass cheek, they're called Daisy Dukes because this woman walked
she's a
in
cultural
them.
Phenomenon
started a fucking phenomenon. She's also offering chitlin sandwiches,
right,
which sounds disgusting.
I don't know if chitlins is a real thing or something that you people from your neck of the woods do as a joke to confuse people from where I come
I've
from.
Had fried chitlins, and I think it's gross. It tastes like grease. It tastes like greasy crap in your mouth.
I would like to try chitlins. I definitely would like to try
Brave man.
But it's no less disgusting than like a gooey duck.
Well, yeah, those are pretty gross too. So Bo and Luke hijack them without, and also the other conceit is these guys are on probation, which is the whole hook of the show, and they can't use guns, which is why they're always using bow and arrows, which I also forgot about this show. And they do the whole thing where they just come behind and like bag these dudes up, and Daisy's like, oh my God, boys, I told you not to bring machine guns, and they don't. Right. It's an armed robbery.
Machine guns.
But not technically.
Yeah, and the thing about probation is when you're on probation, if you commit another crime, you get charged for both.
Right, yeah.
These guys commit an awful lot of crimes for someone on probation.
They do.
But then again, I've known a lot of people on probation, and they tend to
this is
to
the kind of county where you can
more.
Just kind of steal a cop car and just a prank, and nobody, you know. It's like, as long as you get it.
Oh, it gets even worse than stealing a cop car.
Yeah.
Later in the episode.
The Duke family has been in the moonshine 50 years before the Declaration.
Plus their taxpayers paid for that.
The 50 years before the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
And
which is my favorite angle is the sovereign citizen angle that the Duke clan, sorry to use
yeah,
that
explain,
word.
Yeah, explain this. Explain what you're talking about here. What is the deal that was struck?
So since they have been moonshiners since before the Declaration of Independence, they existed as a semi-autonomous sort of a anarchistic region of like the Duke folk who maintained their status as moonshiners, though illegal. And that was up until the point where Luke and Bo got caught, and in order to negotiate their release from prison, Jesse signed, he did the unthinkable and signed the Duke folks' first ever contract with the U.S. government. They probably got social security numbers
oh,
and everything
God,
after that.
Government
that. So,
names,
yeah.
Oh God. He says that he signed a treaty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as though they're like Native Americans or
well,
something.
Well, they are Which, I think you're supposed to understand that they're Southern, they're former Southern aristocracy too, which is why they're the Dukes. But they've, like, through hard times and the government cheating them, they've lost everything. Yeah, because they talked about, like, we used to have the whiskey, well, then we had the land, farm. And, like, all that was taken from us, and now all we got is our name.
I don't think they're, like, Spanish royalty.
No, I'm talking, like, you know, the Southern aristocracy. They talk about, like, you know, like, they probably had a plantation or something.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, let's not think too hard about that part.
The name does kind of annoy me, though, because, like, Dukes oversee a duchy, and it's Hazard Count. Technically, they should be the Counts of Hazard.
It's true.
Because it's a county.
Count of...
It's not Hazard Duchy.
True. It's true.
And then it could have actually been a fun kind of a vampire show if they were the Counts.
The boys think they have Uncle Jesse here on a logical Horns of a Dilemma, where they say, well, you know, this, because he says, this family don't hold a gambling, you got to take all this shit back. Because, oh, yeah, Uncle Jesse discovered this shit hid in the barn. And they're like, well, right. Uncle Jesse... making whiskey's illegal, but we all did it. And he's like, that was a family tradition. When we made corn whiskey, we paid taxes on the corn. This is a vice. You can't pay taxes on no vice. Like, it's like paying taxes makes everything official. As long as you do on some stage, it's like sales tax, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. They're like sovereign citizens, but they pay tax on their corn.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you can tax... gambling winnings is pretty easily, I feel like.
How do you tax vice? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're gonna give all the money to the orphanage.
They're gonna do all that, and that puts a smile on Jesse's face. He officially blesses the vice now.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what the hell? Oh yeah, Bo gives a big old bag of coins to Jill. Because he's got the first take from all this. Because that's what they do is they have, like, a montage of them installing these slot machines and all the, like, Civic, the Rotary Club, the Masonic Lodge, the Ladies Quilting Auxiliary, like, all these places they're trying to get extra money for their causes. And they set up a 30-70 split, and they take the 30%. Bo gives this 30% to Jill and says there's more to come.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. There's like a little boy at the orphanage, and Luke Skywalker, Bo flips like a coin to him and is like, buy yourself a soda, kid. And he like scrambles off, which is kind of funny. But yeah, essentially, yeah.
They go pays off too, because he starts squirting flies.
Yeah, which is funny. But it reminds me of like Michael Knight, where it's like Michael Knight is great with kids, right? As part of his like character. And I thought they were going that direction with Bo, but it turns out not to be the case at all. And this guy's actually kind of a fun comedic actor, because the kid runs off, buys a soda, sits in the back of the General Lee, is filling his mouth with soda and using it as like a squirt gun to squirt bugs in the car.
Yeah, he's forcing the soda through the gap in his front two teeth, a process which I've always referred to as gleeking.
That's not gleeking.
What's gleeking? But... what's gleeking, motherfucker?
Gleeking, you like unhinge your jaw like a snake, and then you like do like a neck muscle contraction to launch water forward.
Really? Because
it's more of like a miss.
East of the Mississippi, I think, gleeking is forcing spit through the gapping front teeth and shoot that pure, you know, squirt gun stream out. But
yeah, now gleeking here is definitely an open mouth maneuver that comes from.
It sounds
deep
like you're hurling poison into your opponent's eyes.
Tulip Blossom says, "I've always heard the definition Aaron is using."
See,
I don't
east
know.
Of Mississippi.
What the fuck?
So Jill tries to shut all of his corn pone shit down and says, like, look, I've been to college and I'm trying to save an orphanage. I got no time for your country shucking and jiving. And he says, you don't can't big time me, sister. While you were off of college, I was here fighting the system. I fought the people polluting our water. I fought the people polluting our air and land. If you think this is a play for you, you're mistaken. Now, he is telling a lie, because this is 100% a play for her.
Oh,
and he's going to use some fucking backwoods country judo on her here in a minute.
Yeah.
To
he's like He's redneck Andrew Tate. He's like Andrew Tater Tot.
Yeah. So the sheriff investigates and he goes around, finds out all these Rotary clubs doing big business gambling, figures out the Duke boys are selling the machines, and he puts on an early coo 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 exhibition as he gets riled up thinking about how he's going to get even. But he knows the Duke boys are popular and he's facing re-election, so he can't just go and do some blatantly unconstitutional shit. He's got to actually get some evidence.
I feel like the Duke boy should run for sheriff. Like, they would probably win.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that's not a plot. Because things get weird in late game Dukes of Hazzard, Boss Hogg and Colt and Roscoe and the Duke boys have to join forces against a greater extra county threat, you know?
Maybe for season 3 of Feeny, we just watch the final season of Dukes of Hazzard.
My God.
We don't watch any of the early episodes at all.
I would like to watch at least one episode of the Forgotten season where they fired Bo and Luke Duke and replaced them with two other identical looking cousins and everyone hated it. And they brought CBS back to the bargaining table and they reinstituted the real Bo and Luke and the show continued to decline. Anyway, so his idea of getting evidence is just going and arresting Daisy, as far as I can tell, for no right. fucking good reason. And for his trouble, she kicks his ass and steals his car.
Yeah, actually, Daisy is innocent at this point, isn't she?
She wore a bikini on the side of a road. Dish. That's her only crime.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's her only crime.
Okay, so that's what do you call that? Accessory.
But if she didn't say, boys, you promised not to bring machine guns, she'd probably get off scot-free because she's just wearing a bikini at that point. But yeah. I love that Daisy has a genuinely great time stealing this car. Like, she's just like the boys.
She's
laughing and throwing her hair around and tear-assing in this cop car.
Yeah. She has a fun move where she, like, tosses her purse down and then kicks him in the butt and gets in the car.
Yeah.
And he pulls his gun out. He doesn't shoot, but he does,
on, Roscoe.
Draw down
on
her.
You want to shoot Daisy Duke? Come on.
Right? That would be very
unpopular.
Because
you'll die
for
it in Hazzard County. You shoot Daisy Duke.
Yeah, for real.
And you'll be, you'll luck. Hopefully the Duke boys will get to you first because they'll do you clean. if Enos gets a hold of you, oh my God, it's gonna get weird. It's gonna get weird.
You're gonna end up in some sort of a dungeon.
So I don't know. They have this car chase that ultimately leads into a wreck involving a piano. I honestly don't know. I do love how unapologetic Daisy is when the sheriff comes to her window. She's like, oh, hey, again.
Oh, that's really cute. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the actress oozes charisma.
Yes.
Like, it's not just, like, that she's attractive.
Yeah.
You know, she's just a charismatic person.
She's also the only character, aside from Boss Hogg, that's in... No, Boss Hogg is the only character in all, like, 360 episodes of the Duke Boys, or the Dukes of Hazzard. Daisy's in all but one. I don't know which one she's missing for, but it must be the lowest rated one on IMDb, I'm assuming.
Yeah. That's when she held out for a better contract, and after one episode, her pay was doubled.
Uncle Jesse finds out the Duke boys have gotten Daisy in jail, and he is fucking pissed.
Pissed. Yeah. It's like, she's the last of our bloodline, which is kind of funny, because, like, he's talking to these two virile young men who are like their 20s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the whole point is like, you two sons of guns are never going to settle down. So she's the only one that's going to. But it's like, come on. Like, they're going to get old. They're not going to be these two young bucks forever.
The quote is, the odds of you two reproducing are as good as a hog producing beef. God damn.
Right.
What a fucking great line.
Yeah, he's full of them.
We are introduced to Sheriff's Deputy Enos, who is Hazzard County's oldest virgin and has no chill about staring at Daisy Duke.
No, and they even reconfirmed that he's still a virgin at this point in the series.
This poor guy. This poor guy.
Yeah, I know. He's the original incel.
Yeah.
Get it? Because he's a prison guard.
Yeah.
He's in the cell.
Ah. Involuntary incel. Yeah. And also, he'll probably get locked in a cell at least 3 dozen times over the course of the series. So literally be an incel. Luke stops by and says, "Hey, it's Daisy's birthday. You wouldn't keep me from dropping off some things to you. And she presents, he has presents and a clean change
Every
of clothes.
Every frame of painting.
Exactly.
By the way.
Exactly. And what Enos excuses himself because he thinks that Daisy's going to change clothes. So he's like, oh, my God, I can't possibly.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I'll just go to the CCTV.
Yeah. Let me get a Betamax tape, and guys, I don't think we got VHSs yet, but
yeah. Listen, I've invented some sort of a cylinder that somehow can record video from her cell. That hurt up.
We'll be back to talk more about why is Mr. Feeny a car after this quick break.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, a very special isn't your speed. We've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd. We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R. R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts. FX is adapting James Clavell's best-selling novel, Shogun, into a 10-part miniseries this spring. Set in the shogunate period of Japan at the turn of the 15th century, Shogun depicts the rise of a feudal lord to Shogun, as seen through the eyes of a shipwrecked English sailor. It's loosely based on the real-life exploits of William Adams and Tokugawa Ieyasu.
Shogun has already been successfully adapted back in 1980 with a widely acclaimed miniseries starring Richard Chamberlain. Featuring intricate plots, political scheming, complex characters, and thrilling action. This time, husband and wife team Justin Marks and Rachel Kondo try to recapture the successes of the novel and early adaptations while increasing the levels of historical and cultural accuracy that are often perceived as flaws of this and similar works.
Starring Hiroyuki Sanada from The Last Samurai, Mortal Kombat, and John Wick 4, with Cosmo Jarvis of Peaky Blinders, Raised by Wolves, etc., joining the truly massive cast required to bring this complex world to life. Join Aaron and I each week as we deep dive into each episode, uncovering the mysteries, the intrigue, and the glory of Shogun.
Shogun premieres on FX Hulu Tuesday, February 27th, with a two-part debut. Our podcast will release each Thursday thereafter. Get our Shogun coverage by searching for Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
And now we're back with more. Why is Mr. Feeny a car?
There's a scene back at the Boar's Nest where Boss Hogg is dressing down Sheriff Roscoe Pico train because he's arrested a most popular woman in the county for hijacking fertilizer, and he doesn't see how he's going to get his machines back. And then he finds out about the Dukes running their gambling ring, and he actually, in front of Roscoe, says, "Hot damn, I wish I had them Duke boys on my side." Like, poor fucking Roscoe.
Yeah, it's true.
Boss Hogg is a very colorful guy. He exclaims at one point, because Roscoe is very confident in his entrapment plan for the Duke boys. And he says, "Now I got three medals and two world war. No, I got three medals and two wars. And the only thing makes me scared is when you look smug."
Yeah.
Great line. Did you guys do the math on that? Because I thought Korea and Vietnam, right?
I think it's Ukraine and Iraq too.
Afghanistan and Ukraine.
Yeah, I have no idea.
What's next happened? Oh, the Duke boys are explaining to Jill. Oh, it's Bo, and he's having a picnic with Jill.
Yeah.
And
not much happens here. Basically, she's like, "Well, I'm going to leave town eventually anyway." And he gets a little upset about that.
Well, but
he's like, I get thinking the world's clock ticks to my fancy, but then, you know, I don't know. Basically, the point is she got a new job somewhere else. So this just turned from a serious romantic love interest to a fling.
Well, I don't understand, because she began his conversation by, he goes in for a kiss and she takes her hair and shields her face, which is a pretty unambiguous, like, I'm not interested
That's a
sign.
Savage move.
And he says, "Well, I'm just afraid things will get complicated." And then she goes, "Well, I'm leaving soon." And then he's like, "Well, okay." And I'm like, "But wait a second, you weren't the one with the objection here. How the hell did she get on board with fucking now? What did he do to change her mind?"
I think she just wanted to make sure he knew, like, not to fall in love. Don't catch feelings
over
this.
Oh, this
is a
friends.
Right.
This is a cousins with benefits situation.
We can hook up for the... oh, God. I don't normally oof at jokes like that. You got me on that one. Yeah, for the next 2 weeks, they can have their fun and stuff. I think... she's just like, "All right, chill out, dude. Like, we're not gonna get married, so let's have a roll in the hay."
Yeah. We go back to the jail, and I was thinking,
this is the worst escape, dude. I still barely understand this blow up.
Like,
because
I'm thinking, okay, there's gonna be a file, there's gonna be something that can cause a distraction. The plan is that she's got a blow up sex doll with a Daisy Duke wig right. on it. And she's okay. dressed the bed to look like her. Then she gets the one female police officer, corrections officer, to let her out to use the bathroom. And this thing inflates, but it's
a self-inflating blow-up doll, too.
And it's rigged to the door, because, but, like, as far as I can tell, this does nothing to help her escape.
I don't know.
Because the
either.
Real thing that causes her to escape is the fact that she beats up this police officer and steals her uniform.
Yeah, it's the old this is another great trope from the era of, like, disappear into the confined space with the officer, fighting sound effects happen, and then protagonist leaves in the uniform.
Yeah, and the next scene, Enos discovers the fake. It doesn't help anything. They smash cut to Uncle Jesse, who is wearing a Daisy Duke wig and driving Daisy Duke's car, and faking the entire police department into thinking this Uncle Jesse is Daisy Duke, which is just, again, I don't know how blind or far away from the car you have to be to make this mistake.
Again, the cop department was defunded. They all lost their vision benefits.
That's true.
So they're all out there with a 520 vision.
They haven't had a new prescription in 25 years.
It's a really convoluted escape plot that doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
But it works. It works out for him. I love it when a plan comes together.
Luke and Bo sidle up to Enos, who's not too bright, and said, it's okay, Enos, it's not your fault that you're on the wrong side of things, which hurts his feelings because he used to grow up with them and he sees himself as still a good guy. And he says, well, at least I'm not doing illegal gambling. And they go, oh, no, Enos, you don't get it. That was all the sheriff's idea. And we've been helping him all along.
Right.
So the Dukes load what they leak out that they're going to take a couple of slot machines and need repair to the repair shop. And Roscoe is staking out their, I don't know, what one of these rotary clubs or whatever. And they load it into the back of the General Lee. And then they have another chase. This time it's through the town. And Jesse, when I tell you this looks exactly like my hometown in the 1980s, this fucking looks exactly like Mooresville, Indiana. I swear to God.
That's funny.
No building over 2.5 stories. I mean, we didn't have like gravel road. You had to drive a couple miles out of town before you hit your first gravel road. But yes, this looks exact. The train yards. This, like, if we drive past a gravel pit on the way out of town, I'm convinced that they filmed in Mooresville. It's insane. The tractor driving down the road, check. That happens all the time. The fucking 5 and 10 Ben Franklin, check. I just,
5 and 10 Ben Franklin?
Yeah, the 5 and dime. That was like the dollar store back in the 60s and 70s. Oh. You know, inflation, hell of a thing.
Oh God!
Pretty soon it's going to be called the five and up or whatever is going to take over, and people are going to understand what a dollar store is. Anyway, it's a store you buy dollars at. What? I don't know. They do another whole fucking chase. They grab. There's a whole things are pointless. Like. They grab this sign that says open ditch. And I'm like, oh, they're going to do that thing where they jump, but Roscoe's not going to be able to. But they don't.
This doesn't pay off.
It doesn't pay off. They get into a chicken situation, but at the last minute, they dodge and crash through a fence. It's like the anti-Knight Rider, you know?
Right.
And Enos is the simplest man in Hazard County. And they lead him up to his wild goose chase to the orphanage. Where there is a big giant party happening, and Roscoe steps out of the car confused, but everyone greets him like a hero because the Dukes have told everybody that the mysterious benefactor who's paid for all these gambling machines and is letting them keep 70% of the take is the sheriff.
Right.
So now he is a hero. He has legitimized gambling in Hazard County. He has handled.
He's swarmed by no less than 150 orphans.
So many orphans.
There are a lot of orphans in this small town.
They need to invent seatbelts yesterday, honestly.
It would be funny if all the orphans had like shaggy black hair, like they literally all looked like
blue eyes. Yeah. And he handily wins re-election on the popularity of all this. And Boss Hogg is pissed because he didn't get any of the credit, even though he's the one that actually spent the money on the machines. And that is the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun end. What I like about the ending of this, it's a little bit clever. I'm not going to say it's genius screenwriting or anything, but it's like the sheriff, who's the villain, gets reelected because he's a useful idiot to the actual villain, Boss Hogg, and the Duke boys actually want the incompetent sheriff to remain sheriff. They don't want the cunning, like,
plot point that they get to continue to fight the enemy they know.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know. I think
it's pretty
the way
tidy.
That it worked out there.
I was about to say that this is actually from just a nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes. This is a very tight script. There is ludicrous set pieces, but shit makes sense and pays off long term.
Yeah, yeah. Even down to like, I think they must have just not been able to shoot the pit jump, the trench jump or whatever after they like grabbed the sign. Like for whatever reason they couldn't get that in there.
Yeah, they had one big jump in the very beginning of the episode where they're chasing the sheriff car. And again, I hope I've taught you to recognize this. Every single one of these cars is fucking wrecked.
It's destroyed.
They were extra fucked on this show because these engines were so big and heavy that they would tend to over-rotate. So to solve that problem, they filled the trunks of the General Lee with up to 1,000 pounds of cement.
Jesus.
So you had an extra 1,000 pounds jackhammering this entire car into the pavement. And they said that after one jump, a car was retired. It was like beyond destroyed. They went through somewhere between, the records are unclear, 255 to 360 Dodge Chargers. In fact, they ran out of this particular model of Charger. They started using 1970s Chargers and cosmetically altering them to look like the General Lee. They ran out of that in the final season, resorted to using RC cars to pull off the stunts, which I don't remember as a child. I kind of want to see an RC car episode.
Eventually, someone in your household got a phone call that's like, all right, we're down to the very last barn busting toy General Lee playset. We need Aaron's playset.
Yes. Yeah. To reenact our own. That's something we can talk about now, because the Dukes of Hazzard is a lot of fun.
It?
Super popular. Mm-hmm. Reigned like it was as popular as fucking Dallas, which is one of the most popular shows of all time. Is the lead into Dallas?
It was, and again, you're talking about this like Southern fried
zeitgeist
trend. Yeah,
because like R.J. Ewing was essentially just a non-satirical Boss Hog, okay. a ladies' man's Boss Hog. Anyway,
wait, was there an R.J. and a J.R. in
Did
Dallas?
Did I say R.J.? That's because I'm dyslexic. It's definitely J.R.
Okay.
J.R. Ewing, thank you for saving me.
All I know about Dallas comes from that meme, Who Shot J.R.?
And thank God that meme saved me, because we get 1,000 emails on this. The Dukes of Hazzard is a hell of a lot of fun, but everyone is uncomfortable about it because it features this, Confederate flag, which is, I'm persuaded, pretty hateful imagery. Associating with the, these guys have fought against the Confederacy there, but they're flying a car to General Lee. So here's how you fix the Duke boys. Number one, the Duke boys themselves, the Duke clan, don't call them clan, call it the family. otherwise, no notes. They seem like good old boys, never meaning no harm, and I take them at their word.
Uh-huh. They have a black friend.
They have a black friend for at least another episode. Yep. But they do not belong in the fictional Hazzard County in Georgia. No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
They belong to the real-life city of Hazzard by God, Kentucky. Kentucky, famously a battleground state in the Civil War, where plausibly some Duke family could be fighting against the rebels.
Ah,
Kentucky.
Maybe they even had a brother versus brother in the Civil War.
Ooh, you got a clan of evil Dukes. That do fly the Confederate flags. The slaveholding Dukes. That they're in the you boo and hiss when they come on the train. Kentucky, birthplace of bourbon whiskey. So you got the moonshine and angle.
Ooh, yeah. Uncle Jesse can draw his direct lineage to an abolitionist who had a slave owning brother.
Oh,
and there was a family split.
There were a stop on the Underground Railroad, and that's one of the many ways they smuggled their booze without paying the revenue. They just turned that industry into to the Underground Railroad. General Lee got to get it out of there. General Lee's done, but you know who's in? General Grant. General Ulysses Grant. Unconditional surrender Grant. It's dark blue paint. Uh-huh. With bright gold trim. It's got four gold stars on each door. It's got Old Glory emblazoned on the roof. The horn doesn't play Dixie. It plays the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And everything else, I think, just works. I think that's it. It's just the Dukes of Hazzard from that point of view. You just fix the Confederacy and everything else works.
I got my one note. I only have one note.
Okay.
Because when I think of Dukes, I think of Frank Dukes, Bloodsport. That's right. I'm recasting both of the Duke boys as Jean-Claude Van Damme, who's been known to
play Impact.
Yeah, two guys in one movie.
Yeah.
All the time. So that's my note. Is JCVD plays both the Duke boys.
Yes. I support that.
Do we
that
still
too.
Call it the Dukes of Hazzard? I mean, why not? Hazzard, Kentucky.
You could spell with an X, though.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
D-U-X-E-S.
But and don't get me wrong. This is not JCDVD playing Frank Dukes.
And oh, yeah, that's a good point. Good point. They wouldn't have to necessarily.
Also,
the thing is,
also the General Grant can go through time.
The thing is, with AI face rigging and face swapping, I think you could probably pretty easily repaint the General Lee into the General Grant.
Oh.
And you could probably pretty easily voice train the dub over when they say General Lee, just General Grant. I'm telling you, this is in our power to fix. We can reclaim the Duke boys for a whole other generation. Watch guilt free.
Yeah. And every time they say clan, they say folk.
Yep. The Duke folk go back hundreds of years in Hazard County.
Kentucky,
yeah. I'm telling you, it will work. We need to make this happen. We need to embrace the AI generated art movement. So we're one step closer to the real Dukes of Hazard. That's all I got.
I love it. I think say no more. I had a great time watching it. I've had a rough week, and this show has actually been a shining point in a tough week for me. So
I love it.
So it was a real fun watch.
If you would like to send us feedback to this show, it's real easy. Feeny, FEENY at baldmove.com. We'll get you there.
What was a Gleek when you were growing up? We got to settle this.
We got to get down to the bottom of this Gleek lore. Once again, that is feeny@baldmove.com. Jay, how do people connect with you on all the things you're doing on these internet webs?
Follow me on Twitch, blue_J_streams. Follow me on YouTube, BlueJStreams.
All right. Sounds good. We'll be back next week with the midpoint of the season 2 of the fabulous Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? We're going to be looking at the greatest American hero. Mm-hmm. Some say it has the greatest American theme song of all time. I don't know. I don't know if it can beat Knight Rider, the Duke Boys, and or Airwolf, depending on which host you want to trust and believe here. But or A-Team. Some of us have a rational A-Team love.
We'll see. I'm excited because this is the one I went to bat for. So this is like, I'm repping this episode.
All right.
You get to be pleasantly surprised.
I'm looking forward to it. Until next week, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jay McCain. Oh, shoot. I forgot. Hit the ejector seats, General Lee.
Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the normal allows. Just a good old boy. Wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.